Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Jamie. Today, I am hosting a talk with Paige O'Connor, Executive Director of Youth Ambassadors, about their mission and some new media they have developed to help the youngest children deal with a parent's drug overdose, how to quell hunger pains in a house with no food, and to duck, dodge, and roll when they hear gunfire in their neighborhood. We will be joined by Josie, a graduate of the Youth Ambassadors Program, and then we will open up the phone lines for your questions and comments in the second half of the show. Stay tuned for our calendar of events in the middle of the broadcast and letters from inside at the end of the broadcast. So up next is our guest. So welcome to Jaws of Justice. So Paige and Josie, we're going to talk about your experience with the Youth Ambassador Program. And I want to start with you, Paige, if you could just tell our audience, remind them what Youth Ambassadors is all about.
Certainly. Good morning. Youth Ambassadors is a strength-based employment program for underserved teenagers ages 14 through the graduation of high school in the metropolitan area. Teenagers receive a paycheck. They earn minimum wage to take classes that help them recognize their strengths and help them become the adults willing and able to be part of the community and advocate for change.
Okay. And Josie, do you want to just let us know, in a nutshell, what your experience with Youth Ambassadors has been?
My experience with Youth Ambassadors has been remarkable, I'd say. I've enjoyed first learning life skills. I've learned how to budget. I've learned how to advocate for myself. I've learned how to do art projects, meditate, anything that any adult would need to not only advocate for themselves, but really engage with the community.
Okay, and you've been in the program for 4 years, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And I know that our audience will be interested to know your thoughts about what it was like when you first started and what it has been like over the last 4 years. If you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, when I first started coming to Youth Ambassadors, what drew me to it was an easy paycheck, and that's just the honest truth. You won't get a lot of the kids who come, you won't get their foot in the door unless they have a real reason, because they need that money. Sometimes
sure.
They need it to help their parents pay bills, buy food, things like that. So that was absolutely my foot in the door. But I kept coming because of what the program meant to me. The program taught me, really, I think, how to function. It helped give me the courage I needed to become who I am and to be proud of who I am. And it's also given me, I think, the irreplaceable skill of learning how to advocate for myself and be comfortable with the way that I advocate and the way that I address social and political issues.
Okay. And I know that they have classes in writing. Is that how you got started with your writing activities?
Well, no. I had been writing since I was in the sixth grade at Lea Tolbert Community Academy. There I met Miss Janice Yoakum, my first writing teacher, who connected me with the woman who would come to teach me everything that I know about writing, Mrs. Robert.
All right. Okay. So the writing class at Youth Ambassadors was like a continuation of that.
It was a supplementary course. And something that Youth Ambassadors did that I will never be able to thank them enough for is they connected me with a writing course over the summer every year, 1 week long, that was actually taught by Mrs. Roberts. And through Youth Ambassadors, this is how you get better at writing, by writing. There's
sure.
really no other foolproof way to get better at writing than writing. Youth Ambassadors forced me to write, especially about things that I was uncomfortable writing about, things that I originally thought, this isn't something I want to deal with. And it's because I didn't want to deal with it that I had to write about it.
Okay. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
I wasn't comfortable writing about abuse. That it's just not something I was comfortable with. It wasn't something I was comfortable with thinking about. I tried to avoid it as much as possible. And Youth Ambassadors one summer had a course on abuse, what it looked like, how to recognize it, what to do when you were in that situation. And at first I hated it. I didn't want to think about abuse at all. It, for personal reasons, it was just uncomfortable. They never did anything that pushed, that forced my boundary, but they taught me how to push that boundary. And because of it, I started writing about things that I was uncomfortable with. I started talking about things I was uncomfortable with. Drug overdose, for instance, something that has informed this project. I was not at all comfortable talking about my own experiences with drug overdoses, people I know, or the way I was taught to deal with it. Youth Ambassadors helped me push that boundary.
Okay. All right. So, and then now you're continuing your writing.
Absolutely. I was a creative writing major at Paseo Academy of the Fine and Performing Arts.
Okay. And Paige, why don't you talk to us a little bit more about what the general overview of the program is, what how it operates, and how that works with the
sure.
kids.
Sure. We teach a lot of social-emotional learning. About 100% of our youth that we serve have had backgrounds in childhood trauma, tremendous childhood trauma. We don't seek youth with childhood trauma. That just, the numbers are so great in our city that, you know, 100% of our youth that are with us right now have lost at least one close family member or friend to violence here in the city. Probably 95% of our youth have had a family member incarcerated. Our numbers of single-parent households are tremendous. So we teach our youth lots of coping skills. We teach them anger management, crisis resolution, impediments to success, how to recognize those. We teach them financial literacy, healthy relationships. We teach them to recognize different signs of abuse and what to do if you do see it or if you are experiencing it. It's, you know, really it's the we are providing that hug, so to say, to our youth outside of school hours. A lot of our youth are coming from homes whose parents or guardians are working way too much, all the hours possible that they can, and still are not being able to provide everything they wish to for the youth. It's really hard, and so we step in and we can help teach those skills that parents don't have time to do so.
Okay, all right. And how do you reach out to the community to have students apply to be in the program?
You know, it's we started in 2010, and it's always just been word of mouth. Because we are a program that pays students to take classes, we fill up very quickly. We always have a wait list. The community, it's through the community and word of mouth that we fill up so quickly. This summer we will be hiring 200 youth, teenage youth. Right now we are filling those classes or positions, and we haven't had to advertise at all. We also, because we've been around, we are forming tremendous relationships with social services agencies that are now referring students to our program. On the Missouri side, we pull from 13 different schools, plus homeschooled students and students that have dropped out. We provide a safe place and a new positive norm for these students.
Okay.
They're all small classes, 10 students per class with a mentor, and so it's a lot of conversation-based learning. Students really develop a kinship and a family okay. in the program.
And that's 200 new students in addition to the ones that are continuing in the program? Is that
we
right?
We will have 200 total students this summer. Usually our summer program starts high. Through the year, we drop off in numbers because a lot of students have extra activities due to school.
Mm-hmm.
Our courses right now are during out-of-school hours. Our sites are located in the communities that we serve, and so a lot of times we don't want students walking in those communities after dark, when it's dark, and a lot of our students have transportation issues or need to take the bus. And so right now we just have our program on Saturdays or through the daytime in the summertime.
I see. Okay. And in the school year, how does that work in the school year?
The school year is the Saturday program, and the summer summertime they work with us 3 days a week
So in the school year it's Saturday only
at this point
because of the safety issues.
Because of safety, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And what's been your experience with how students have changed if they stay in the program? Do most students stay in the program for a couple, 3 years?
The majority of our students stay in a minimum of 2 years. Students can come to us at the age of 14. They are unable in the community to get many jobs at 14. Usually you have to be 16. So we are able to keep students for 2 years, which really gives them a very strong sense of self and some skills that they need to move on into the community to get other jobs. There is a percentage that stay with us. Even when they get jobs outside of Youth Ambassadors, they stay with us because they have developed really a kinship and a family feeling with the other students.
Sure.
Josie is one that has stayed with us for 4 years. And it's fabulous to see the growth with these students. I think everyone, whether it's a child or an adult, needs the feeling of belonging. And with Youth Ambassadors, the youth really gain that feeling of belonging.
Okay, so just to clarify, you have maybe 200 students in this fall for who are going to participate in the Saturday
in this
world.
Summer, yes.
Yeah. And so then do they all participate in the same location?
We will have 160 students at one location in Missouri, and another 40 over in Wyandotte County this summer.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So talk to me about how those classes work. And I know we want to talk about the video clips that you created. And do we have those video clips to play? Okay. Can you just, Josie, maybe let me know what your participation was in developing these video clips?
Well, VML did all of the heavy lifting. They did all of the work.
VML is the company that actually created the video clip itself, but not the text, right? Not the idea.
The videos draw on ideas that I talked about and that other youth ambassadors talked about with Miss Page. VML did all of the heavy lifting. They did all of the work on the videos. And it was such a great idea. So many people contributed to the videos by donating to VML. And VML did such a great job on the videos. VML drew on one specific idea, an overdose video that they did, was based around my life experience with my mother telling me how to deal with overdoses when I was 6 years old.
Okay. So let's go to that first video clip about overdose, and we'll play that now.
Another lesson from my neighborhood. Do you know how to tell if mom is overdosing on drugs? If your mom shoots dope every day like mine, you can only help her if you know the signs of an overdose.
An overdose?
Yes, an overdose. Don't call the ambulance if you're in doubt, unless she shakes uncontrollably or foams at the mouth. That's an overdose.
Okay, that's an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
That's an overdose.
My mom taught me to never call an ambulance unless she's shaking or foaming at the mouth. Donate to Youth Ambassadors today at youthambassadorskc.org so other kids don't have to learn lessons like mine.
Okay, so an excellent video about students' experience with how to handle when they witness what might be an overdose. So, Josie, I would like to have your input about when, as you were making this video, other students were participating in the discussion, I'm sure. And so did most people have experiences to bring?
Every single youth ambassador that I know has had an experience with violence. And violence is, it's this tricky thing because violence isn't always someone hitting someone else. It could be someone yelling. It could be drug violence. It could be systematic violence. It could be generational violence. Violence manifests itself in hundreds of different ways, and it's tricky to deal with violence as an overarching subject because every single person you meet has experienced some kind of violence. Maybe they haven't lost anyone to violence, but violence is that insidious, dark thing creeping in the corner.
Right.
So when drawing on these experiences and talking to youth ambassadors who have dealt with violence, we've all had something to say. Most of us have had something to say about drug violence specifically. And so, yeah, I think that everyone that I worked with has had something amazing to contribute to this discussion.
All right. And just focusing on the overdose part of it, lots of people had things to talk about in their family or community having to do with people, adults who might be overdosing. Is that right?
Absolutely. Drug addiction, drug abuse is prevalent in society today. It's this horrifying thing that makes sense, as horrifying things generally do.
Okay. All right. So there's two other radio clips. So there are both the video clips and the radio clips, but today, of course, we're on the radio, so we're playing for you the radio clips. The next one is about called Duck, Dodge, and Roll, and has to do with what somebody should do if they hear gunfire. So we'll hear that one.
Another lesson from my neighborhood. Shootouts can be very dangerous. So when you're walking down the street and find yourself in the middle of one, don't run. Instead,
duck, dodge, and roll.
If you hear gunshots and you don't want to die, gotta duck, dodge, and roll.
Yeah.
You'll have a better chance of staying alive if you duck, dodge, and roll.
Okay.
Don't be like Bobby, who lost his head. He ran around in circles and now he's dead. If you want to stay alive, do this instead. Duck, dodge, and roll.
In my neighborhood, I had to learn that when you hear guns, you should duck, dodge, and roll. Donate to Youth Ambassadors today at youthambassadorskc.org so other kids don't have to learn lessons like mine.
Okay, very good. So a recording on how to avoid, what to do if you hear gunfire. So was there any controversy in the group about whether this was the best way to go?
There's a tremendous amount of controversy over these videos. But that's okay, because what it's doing is sparking conversation and continuing conversation. When VML came up with the concept of puppets and songs, very much like a Sesame Street type video, their thought behind it was, we all learn growing up our ABCs through Sesame Street. So it's a it is a way that we can all associate with and identify with as far as a venue to learn lessons.
Right.
And these,
go ahead.
Sorry, my kids at Youth Ambassadors, these lessons that they've had to learn, whether it's how to recognize signs of an overdose, what to do in a drive-by shooting, or what to do when you're hungry and there's no food in the house and there are children, so they can't access food pantries when they're at home, are lessons the youth have to learn before they even learn their ABCs when they're living in the urban core. These are lessons they have to learn in order to just survive childhood. And so when they all came from when we asked all of our students, what are the lessons that you've had to learn? These are student-informed. They came up with these lessons.
Okay, and sorry to have interrupted. I just wanted to make clear to our audience that we're playing the radio spots, but you can see some excellent visual video spots with the same message at the website for Youth Ambassadors, and that is youthambassadorskc.org. So youthambassadorskc.org. And if you go there, I highly recommend you go and see the videos. They are, as Paige is explaining, using Sesame Street-like puppets to sing the songs and talk about the topic.
So. Now, these videos are not for children. They were not made to educate children. They were made as a wake-up call to adults. However, several people in the community have turned to me and said, why aren't we using them to educate children? Because our children are having to learn these lessons. So it's an interesting dilemma. It's definitely controversial.
Right. Josie, did you want to add anything about that?
I have nothing except the VML. This medium is something that I've absolutely fell in love with. The idea of taking something that everyone notices as, oh, this is how children learn, and using that to teach adults, because that's how we evolved to take in lessons.
Right.
It's a powerful thing to take these lessons and teach them this way.
Right, right. Okay, but do your youth ambassadors, they've seen the video clips?
No, we have held them back, unless they've seen them on the news stations, we have held them back for their last day of their spring program, which is this Saturday.
Oh, I see.
They will see all three videos and also write about them.
Okay.
And we'll use them as a teaching tool to see what that elicits in them.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Yeah.
So I believe we're going to take a short break now for the calendar of events.
Now, the calendar for the week of May 7th. The Criminal Justice Task Force will meet Monday, May 7th, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive, KCMO. The Criminal Justice Task Force mission is to lobby the Missouri State Legislature for sentencing laws that are fair and basic human rights for those that are incarcerated. For information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-522-4081 or email redrob, that's R-E-D-R-O-B, 2655 at yahoo.com. Mothers of incarcerated sons and daughters will have their monthly meeting Saturday, May 12th from noon to 2 p.m. at the Waldo Branch Library, 201 East 75th Street, KCMO. If you have a loved one that is incarcerated and need advice and support, MIST has members that may be able to help. You are invited to the official launch of the Deportation Defense Legal Network on Tuesday, May 15th from 2 to 3 p.m. at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4501 Walnut, KCMO. The network's mission is to provide free legal representation in immigration bond hearings, protect the dignity and rights of all immigrants, and to eradicate prolonged and unnecessary confinement in immigration detention. You can join them to stand alongside our immigrant communities and commit to equal justice under the law. My name is Jeff Humfeld, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. We want to thank our engineer today, Keith Washburn. Now, back to Jamie and her guest.
Okay, I'm Jamie, and I want to remind our audience that we're here today with Paige O'Connor, who is the Executive Director of the Youth Ambassadors Program, talking about their mission and some new media that they have developed to help even the youngest children with various issues going on in their homes. And also joining us is Josie, who is a graduate of the Youth Ambassadors Program, who can share with us his experience over the last 4 years with the Youth Ambassadors Program. So we're going to open up the phones to callers. So callers, if you want to ask questions or make a comment, call 816-931-5534. So before we take a call, we want to play one last example of the media that's been developed with Youth Ambassadors. And Paige is going to tell us a little bit about what that is.
This is the full video, not just the radio spot song for it. It's only about a minute long. This, please remember, this is to educate adults on what's really going on in the lives of youth. These are not suggestions our youth have to other youth on how to survive hunger, because swallowing air is not very successful in surviving hunger.
Another lesson from my neighborhood.
Oh, hi there. If you're hungry like me, when there's no food in the house, 'cause your mom's three jobs don't pay enough, she spent all the grocery money on overdue rent.
3 weeks late.
Come on, don't be blue. Here's what you can do. First you grab a big glass of water, then you drink it really fast, and the hungry feelings will go away, and you'll feel better fast. Come on, it's delicious! You're feeling so weak, there's nothing to eat, and you wonder if you can make it. When your tummy growls, don't go on the prowl and steal a snack or treat, unless you want trouble with Officer Pete. But if you find that you're hungry, it's bound to happen, I bet. Try swallowing air like this. Then go to sleep and try to forget.
Okay, and just to remind our audience, this is just one of three media productions that were made with the Youth Ambassadors Program and produced by VML, and Paige is going to explain to us VML's participation in this project.
VML is a tremendous global marketing company based here in Kansas City. For the last 5 to 6 years, they have generously donated their time and talent to help promote the issues our youth are facing today and help educate others. This is the third campaign that they have helped us with. When they came up with the concept of the videos and the youth informed the videos, they went to their peers in California and Kansas City, and got just under $1 million donated to have these developed because everyone across the country feels the importance of these videos.
All right, very good. Nice to know all that, yeah. So do we have a caller on the air? Okay, caller, you are on the air, and what is your name, and what part of town are you calling from?
Yes, so my name is Lamine. I'm in East Kansas City. Can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you now. I didn't quite get your name and what part of town.
Yes, my name is Lamine. I'm in East Kansas City, at 39th and Prospect.
Okay, all right. And had you heard about Youth Ambassadors Program before this morning, or what would you like to, what would be your comment or your question?
Yes, I just have a brief question to the guest. Is she a person who classifies herself as white?
Is who?
The guest with Youth Ambassadors.
There are two of us here. I am white, and Josie is black.
Is the majority of the organization, Youth Ambassadors, the leadership composed of people who would classify themselves as white?
No.
Okay. I just was listening to the program, and I felt that it was quite tacky, the presentation of the duck cover and roll as a person who has lived with gun violence and been a victim of gun violence for years, even as a child. I thought it's quite tacky to speak about these issues in this way, about our communities. I seriously doubt that this would be the conversation if there were gun violence issues like this in Waldo or in Leawood. So I kind of feel this is, again, individuals who classify themselves as white pushing a very dangerous narrative while black children continue to die via gun violence. And I'll take my call offline. Thank you.
Okay, well, we appreciate your comment, and we'd like to say a little bit about that.
I appreciate your point of view. I'd like to remind you that the duck, dodge, and roll came from a student who is African American, and all of the students that we were talking to did discuss that this was a lesson that they had to learn. I don't see this as a color issue. I see this as an issue that affects all races, especially the overdose video. But I appreciate your point of view, and I can understand what you're saying. Let's just keep the conversation going.
Josie, did you have any response to his concern?
I'm black. That's part of my identity. That's who I am as a person. I'm a black person. That said, everything I do is going to be drawing on the fact that I'm black. Me talking about this issue is in some way drawing on my innate blackness. And I think that as a black person, I've seen issues that affect the black community almost made trivialized because the white world, white America in general, don't want to deal with them. And while that is a very real pressing problem, I don't think that this is that. I don't think this is doing, VML's videos are doing the same thing, because one, this is black informed. This isn't something that a bunch of white people in a room came up with and said, this is how we're going to tell the black people's story. This is how black people wanted their story to be told. Not all black people, because that's impossible. But it's not like VML said, we're going to tell black people's stories. They asked us to tell our stories, how these issues affected us. And my innate blackness bleeds into these videos, into the way that I approach these videos. So I think your concern's valid. I think that we've lived in this world that trivializes our issues. I don't think that means that we can't tell our stories in a way that white America will be made uncomfortable by, because this makes people uncomfortable, and that's good. It's good for them to see, this looks normal. This looks like something I would just see on Sesame Street. Why am I okay with seeing it like this? Why is this the piece of media that makes me uncomfortable when I know that this is happening? So I think that this serves that purpose. I think that as a black person, that's why I'm pushing this so hard, because I am black and because there's nobility in being black and fighting for this issue.
So you can probably very well said, and I you can probably understand why somebody on their initial response over the radio, hearing this over the radio, worries that it might be trivializing the topic, but you feel like that it's like the dissonance between the jovial puppet singing and the very serious topic that actually makes it confrontational for people who otherwise are not aware of the situation. I want to remind our audience of the number to call. It's 816-931-5534. We certainly welcome calls to either ask a question or make a comment, and we would love to hear from you. So, Paige, tell me more about your experience. How long have you been with Youth Ambassadors?
I am one of the founders of Youth Ambassadors.
Okay.
And we founded Youth Ambassadors in 2010.
Okay, all right. And so when you founded it, it was because you had this idea of what you thought might be helpful. And did you get grant money to support the project?
Yes, we work year-round trying to raise money for this project. The majority of our money goes to paychecks for our youth. So the money is going right back into the community. We do not pay for our sites. We do not. The top positions in our company, the people donate their money back so more kids can be hired into it. We feel very strongly that these skills be available for all students. We started in Wyandotte County in Argentine, Kansas. And, as the last last speaker asked about race, Youth Ambassadors is open to all races, and we serve all students. We have quite a tremendous white and Hispanic population with our groups. We do serve some islanders, and, anyone can join.
All right. Okay. So, Josie, you've graduated from the program. Could you tell us a little bit about what your plans are?
I will be starting UMKC.
All right.
In the fall. I'm a computer science major. It's something that I love to do. I plan to continue being an advocate. You can't be a part of something like this and then walk away from advocacy. That's, you just can't do it. You can't be connected in the way that I have been. I plan to, 4 years from now, whenever I get my degree, to come back and teach at Youth Ambassadors. It's a dream of mine to teach a computer programming class or a life skills class or a writing class. I have a few different talents that I would like to help inspire the next generation of Youth Ambassadors with. But I think mainly my main goal, my next big step in life that is directly connected to Youth Ambassadors is I plan to be happy, which is a really big thing that Youth Ambassadors, I think, has given to me and given to a lot of Youth Ambassadors over the year, this right to be happy that you don't find in urban core communities.
All right. So a goal to be happy. I like that. Right. And you're a poet?
Absolutely.
Okay. And do you read your poetry? Are you a spoken word artist at all?
I am a spoken word artist. I've done a few slams. I used to be part of the Louder Than a Bomb Paseo team.
Okay. All right. So, Paige, can you talk a little bit about other people in the program that you might tell us a story about?
I don't know about a story. I do want to say that all of us feel like we are alone in our circumstances. I don't care if you are a teenager or an adult. I know lots of peers in my community have said that. They feel like they're their own island, bumping up against other islands. And what Youth Ambassadors does, you know, all of our students come in and realize that they're not alone in their circumstances. They realize they're not the only one that has experienced something or is living a certain way or has certain thoughts. And once you realize you're not alone, that gives you the power to work through it. I don't like the word empowerment because everyone has that power within them, but maybe it gives them the tools to recognize their power and their ability to work through their circumstances and move beyond. And all of our students, you know, teenage years are hard as it is for everyone. We have so many complicated issues going on in our lives. And to throw in on top of that issues of violence or abuse or drugs, no matter what community you're from, it makes it that much harder to really learn the skills needed to be successful and happy going forward.
Okay. And what kind of staff do you have on Youth Ambassadors?
We have 19 teachers on staff. Teachers come from all walks of life. One of our teachers actually was the Teacher of the Year for Missouri and was honored by President Obama. Two of our teachers were two of our original ambassadors in Argentina. One of those teachers, he just received a doctorate, an invitation to do his doctorate at UC Berkeley, and will be leaving us in August. And it's a very diverse group, all ages and all cultures in our teaching staff, which is very important. We can't have, you know, just one ethnicity show up and then have other children feel that they can identify with that. That's not possible.
Right. And so you have four different areas that you teach in the Youth Ambassadors program. Is that right?
We have a few more than that. Our main courses, we have a life and job skills class. We teach students lots of skills needed to get a job and hold down a job. They have mock interview experience. They leave with a resume. But no one can get a job if they're dealing with stress in their... You can get a job. It's hard to keep a job if you are dealing with constant stress in your family life. And so along with the job skills, we teach the emotional learning skills. And then we have writing, which is mainly a journal writing. We have art for those who cannot express themselves through writing, even though everyone takes art. And then our fourth class rotates different subjects. We either have health, where our students just finished learning mental health first aid and healthy relationships. We have financial literacy. We have speech, and we have critical consciousness.
Okay. And would you say that one of those areas is the most popular in the program? Do people really like the art class, for example?
You know, I think it's pretty balanced. We have several students who have never picked up a paintbrush before, and so they haven't developed that interest in art. But they might excel in writing or speech instead.
Okay. And the artwork, is that on display anywhere, or can people take a look at it?
We rotate the art all over the city. Right now, it's all been pulled back, and we're about to start displaying it again.
Oh, I see. And how would people would go to your website to
find
out?
We have at our website at youthambassadorskc.org. You can see art, you can read some writings, you can definitely see all of the advocacy campaigns and videos. Students have made videos.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I think we have a caller. All right, we don't have a caller right now, but I want to invite people to call in. The number is 816-931-5534. And let me just follow up that the question about the artwork. Is the artwork for sale at all?
No, it's not. We like to share it in the community, but we don't sell it.
Okay. Yeah. But it's on display in various parts of the community.
That's correct.
And they can go on to the website to find out.
Right now, there are photos of it on the website.
Okay. Yeah. And that website, again, is youthambassadorskc.org.
Mm-hmm.
So, Josie, would you want to add anything about your experience with taking the art classes or the writing classes? Or what's your experience been?
Well, obviously, my favorite class was art. No, I'm kidding. My favorite class was writing. But that's what I do. It's what I'm good at. But I really appreciate art because I'm not great at art, but I love it. I love doing it with youth ambassadors. I love...
Is it mostly painting or various types, various media?
Every kind of media you can think of. One thing that's reliable about all of our art instructors is this veracity for learning. They're hungry for us to learn. So I'll see one of my teachers, Miss Molly, she'll think, hey, you know what would be cool? And then next week we're doing something with wire sculpting. And I remember Miss Elizabeth Fisher, Miss Libby, as we call her, she thought, hey, I would really like to do something with masks. And then we found out the distinct horrors of acrylic paint on tile. but I love just how hungry all of our art teachers were for us to experience.
Their enthusiasm for the art. Do you happen to have a poem that you can share with us?
I have many poems on me. Miss Page, I think, requested a specific one that I'm trying to see if I can pull up. Would it be all right if I didn't do that one? Because I'm not sure I have blue socks on me.
Whatever you find.
Just share whatever you would like
sense.
To share.
Okay, great. Because I do have a fairly recent poem that I have not finished writing just yet. But
while you're looking for that, I just want to repeat our phone number again. It's 816-931-5534. We're talking to Paige Connor and Josie about the Youth Ambassadors KC program. And if you have a question or a comment, we welcome your call.
We're putting him on the spot because we didn't ask him to do a poem and he didn't come prepared.
Let's see. You know, I should be a bit more prepared. I'm a poet. This is what I do. Okay. I saw God at a coffee shop. She gave me 2 shots of cinnamon in my cinnamon roll latte. I'm obsessed with cinnamon. It hurts when you swallow. See, I saw God on a sidewalk. She was walking a dog through the park. I don't go through parks unless I'm running. Running from the cops, from bullets, from guns, from drugs, from life, from my mom, from my dad, from my not dad, my dad that wasn't really my dad that I thought was my dad but left before I met him again. See, I ran through parks a lot when I was a kid. I saw God walking her dog through a park. See, I really like cinnamon. It hurts when you swallow. It's like a bitter pill, like my dad, not dad, there, not there. I'm always in half places with my dad being there. I saw God and I didn't pray to her. I ordered a cinnamon roll latte. I saw God and I didn't bow to her. I asked what breed of dog she was walking. She said humanity. I saw God and my middle school teacher. He said, I don't want to teach this. He taught me GDP. He taught me how to debate. He taught me how to speak. See, I saw God in my middle school teacher. He left when the year was up. I saw God in a coffee shop. She gave me a cinnamon roll latte. She told me my dad wasn't coming back. See, cinnamon hurts to swallow. It's a hard pill to swallow. My dad's not coming back. God was never divine.
All right, excellent. Very, very nicely done. Yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us. So I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, could you give us your name and what part of town you're calling from?
Oh, yes. My name's Daniel. I'm calling from Grandview. And I just wanted to mention that I heard him say that he believes he has a right to happiness. And that I once went to Washington, D.C. and had a petition. And petition was a really simple thing, a takeoff from the idea that we have inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I just altered that a little bit. I just eliminated the word pursuit and say that we have a right to happiness, and made a petition, and people from all over the world were signing it. This was back in the 80s, and I just thought I'd mention that. I even made a little booklet called The Right to Happiness Movement, and it hasn't really caught on, but maybe someday, and there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. Hopefully the time will come.
Well, you have one advocate sitting here with me today who believes in the right to happiness, so thank you.
Two
people. So thank you for that call, Dan. We're out of time, and I just want to know if there's anything else you would like to add, Paige or Josie, to our conversation before we end this.
If anyone has a student age 14 to 18 that would like a job this summer with us, please make sure you go to our website. We are accepting new students, and we'd love to have them.
All right. And Josie?
If the songs you heard today, if the conversation you heard today made you uncomfortable and you didn't tune out, good job. Go back, re-listen to those songs, watch those videos. Make yourself uncomfortable. Pass them on. And when you're uncomfortable, realize that's change. Okay. So good job.
Okay. And people can watch those videos on the website. It's youthambassadorskc.org. I think that wraps it up. And thank you very much for joining us this morning, Paige and Josie.
Thank you for having us.
All right, up next is the edition of Letters from Inside. Thanks for joining us this morning. Letters from the Inside, up next.
We say that word segregation, and what instantly pops into our heads? Depending on your knowledge and experience, the image may vary broadly from the 1960s, where African Americans were forced to ride on the back of the bus, separated from privileged whites, to the millions of mothers, fathers, brothers, and sisters held in captivity against their will in segregation units across the country, deprived of basic necessities every single day for years on end. To us here at Southeastern Correctional Center, that word is a cut to our bodies, minds, and to the mentally feeble souls. In my time of being incarcerated, though only 6 years, I have never experienced anything as atrocious as the conditions imposed on us here. And I am not alone in my sentiment. Many others who have been doing time before I was born know this to be true. Every day, we are forced to live in single-man cells here at SECC One House, clothed with only shirts and boxers and socks, which are falling apart and soaked with field mice urine. We are not allowed to buy any soap to wash our bodies. From within the prison canteen, we are forced to make it through a 7-day period of trying to wash our hands after using the restroom, taking showers, and cleaning ourselves with a motel bar of soap. No other prison in Missouri bars prisoners from buying soap. Charleston is the only one. So you have to ask, why is this happening here and only here? Some believe it is the location of this prison, being the furthest south in the state, and normally avoids oversight by central office in Jefferson City. But from our point of view, the main reason is the suppression of our voices to call out for help. We are denied the grievance process, and if on occasions we do receive an informal resolution request form, it is lost in transit. We at SECC are calling out to the other side. Please help us. All we want is to be treated with a little humanity. Is it too much to be allowed to buy a bar of soap and stay clean? Unfortunately for us, that is the grimy reality. We are here doing our best to help ourselves, but we can't do it alone. We need help. Anyone willing to voice outrage at our suffering is greatly appreciated. All of us here at SECC, thank you. Sincerely, Stephen Scott.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. You can always listen to us live and find our podcasts on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. If you have a show idea or want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. This is Jamie reminding you our outro music is Better Man from the Playing for Change CD. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Cowtown Conversations on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Monday Morning Medicine Show with Dr. Mike, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hoag. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day south of the border with Fiesta Musical, Compartiendo Familia, and Compartiendo en Noche.